Well, welcome to singing school and our Lord's Day church service. Welcome, everyone. Do you have any prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? Yeah, let's keep our neighbor Dean White in prayer. His affliction in the nursing home where we're planning to sing this afternoon. Hopefully he can be in the cafeteria to hear us. That'd be good. Anybody else? Brother Chris, could we ask you to lead us in the prayer?
Lord, thank you for this day that you gave us in beautiful sunshine, weather, and for each one that's here this morning, just help us to hear your message, Lord, about their lives. It seems such a good
Okay. Well, this afternoon we're going to sing. We're going to put to work what we've been practicing, okay, in Mount Vernon at the rest home. And we'll probably sing for 20 minutes. It might be, you know, six songs, something like that. See how many we can. We won't sing all the verses of every hymn. I have a little list here of ones to practice, and let's just go over them a little bit. Let's sing number one, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Let's sing the first two verses.
Father of his rain, O rest, brother of his men. That's exciting.
Joy to the world. Three, number three. Should we do one, two, and four here? What? One, two, and four. Take the name of Jesus with you. And, well, is that it? Okay. Get those two mixed up. It's 45. Blessed be the name. Better get that written down. Praise to Him who reigns above.
Blessed be the name.
rest in there. Just kind of look up here and you'll see.
His name above all names shall stand, exalted.
Basic instruction on singing. I'm sorry. Come on, lady. What are some more? Come on, boys. Instruction here on
open
your mouth. Good and wide.
With added emphasis.
Added emphasis to the vowels or consonants?
The consonants.
Consonants! Yes. Get them out there. And so that just helps people understand what we're saying. Look up here. That's okay. They're getting that figured out. Anything more you want to say? Those are just good things to remember. Clayton, do you want to go out there and get that book up on top of the on the dash of the vehicle, the hymn book that I was going to bring in, the cardboard one. Let's do 22. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. here. Let's skip the chorus after number two, after the second verse. And we'll just go right into, and when my task on earth is done. So we'll sing chorus after the first verse and after the last verse. But we are only singing 1, 2, and 4. All right. Waits for me a glad tomorrow. let's sing first, third, and last. There waits for me a bright tomorrow, where the gates of pearl swing open wide, and where across this veil of sorrow, I'll camp upon the other side. Someday beyond the reach of mortal care. God bless you. I'm looking forward to it.
The assignment was to think of a Bible story that you like and tell it, and then tell why you like it. Then I like the story of how when Jesus got betrayed, you know, and they came to get him. Well, after he was on trial, they were mocking him around the fire, and Peter had told Jesus that he loved him so much he'd die with him. But here, whenever the people that were right sitting there, you know, mocking Jesus, they said, or Peter saw that, you know, this is something serious, you know, it was scary. And so whenever they said, "You were with him too," he denied it right away. And then I think one of the times when they told him three times, and one of the times he even like started using bad language so that they'd think that he was not a Christian for sure. And that then after that he realized what he did, and he was real sorry about it. And that shows us that, you know, we can think we're real strong, but here if we really were in a situation, it'd probably be a lot different than what we think.
I thought about something kind of like what Randall said about Peter. When he had denied Jesus and sinned pretty badly, after Jesus came back to life, he got back up, unlike Judas, who just quit.
When God was bringing the children of the Israelites out of Egypt after the slavery, the story where he parted the waters of the Red Sea so they could go through, and then the waters rushed shut again on top of the enemy. And that's just a story about how God can really do amazing things to help us if we need it.
I like the parable that Jesus told about the master that went on a long journey, and he left his servants gave each of his servants a responsibility, and to some he gave more, and to one he gave the least, and the ones that had more of a responsibility really were faithful, and because it was big stuff, and they were faithful at their responsibility. But the one who had the least thought, you know, this is just such a little bit. There's no use in taking care of it really that much. So he just buried it and just kept it safe till he'd come back. And that's just a reminder to no matter how small responsibility is, to be faithful at it and just get it done, stick at it till it's finished, and that'll be rewarding.
I really like the Good Samaritan, because all the holy people, they were too holy to be able to help the person who was in need. But the religious heretic, the Samaritan, he was kind enough to help and at his own expense and help the Samaritan.
One time Paul was captured and he was in prison and they were shipping him somewhere, and then the storm came up by the island of Melita and the ship wrecked and they were throwing stuff overboard and everything, and so but Paul said to calm down because no one would get hurt, and so then they all got ashore fine, and then Paul was piling wood on the fire and a snake jumped out and bit him, and they thought he was going to die, but then he didn't, and so they thought he was a god suddenly instead of a prisoner, but he told them that no, it was God that had saved him. God still had work for him to do, so he couldn't die unless God wanted him.
I, for some reason, didn't hear the void assignment last Sunday. Maybe I was thinking about something else, but I'm not going to quote Matthew 5. I'll just kind of pull with you a few stories I appreciate out. One of them I thought of was the the parable of the vine dressers, that the master had hired these men to look after the vineyard while he went away on a long journey. And when he came back, or he sent servants back to collect some of the fruit of the vineyard, they beat the servants and sent him away. And he did that a certain number of times, and every time they beat the servants and sent him away. And finally the master said, well, if I send my son, they'll say, well, this is his son, but we're going to respect him, you know. Well, he sent his son, and they killed the son, and because they thought in their hearts, we want to have this vineyard for ourselves, you know, this is our chance to slay the master's son. And I just thought about how, you know, we're given, everything we have in life is given to us, and it's not our own, and it's up to us to be wise how we handle those things. And I don't know, it's just to me it's a relief to think of my life as not being my own, because then I know that it's for other people, and I can be a servant to others. And then another story I thought of was the parable Jesus set forth about the sinner and tax collector and the Pharisee. They were both praying, and the Pharisee was thanking the Lord that he wasn't like the sinners, and that he fasts, that he does all these, you know, righteous things, and just really thanking God that he wasn't a sinner. But the sinner was so broken-hearted at his own sin that he wept and pleaded with the Lord to forgive him. And I like that story because I lack a lot of that humility that man had, you know. And I think humility really helps us to be a good person and to overcome our selfishness. And I want to strive to be like that man.
I like the story of David and Goliath because he overcame the giant that nobody else thought that they could overcome. But he knew that if God was with him, he could, anything was possible. And I just liked that thought that I had about that. If whatever trial you're going through, God gives you a strength to go through it, and with him you can overcome it.
I thought about Stephen when he was being stoned because he was preaching the gospel. He said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he was forgiving them right, because he was like asking God to forgive them. It's easy sometimes to just, "I forgive you," and just kind of knowing that, oh, God will judge them. But real forgiveness, we just forgive them and ask God to forgive them too.
At the story of Solomon, how God is the wisest king of all kings, and God gave him a wish, that you can wish for what you want, and I'll grant it. And he thought about it, and he could ask for anything, but he just asked for wisdom, and that just kind of, like, thought that just gives me, you know, just doesn't matter what you have, you always need wisdom to follow.
I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were commanded to bow down to the idol. They refused, and they were thrown in the furnace, fiery furnace for it, and they were taken out of the furnace, and then the king realized that there is a God more powerful than he is.
I like the story when Daniel prayed three times a day by his window, and then some men convinced the king to send out a letter that everybody should worship him, and Daniel kept praying by the window, and so they threw him in the lion's den, but God held the lion's mouth shut, and he was saved.
I thought about Job, how he was a rich man, and he praised God a whole lot, but one time Satan came to God, and he said that Job praise God just because God gave him all those riches. And so God just said that Satan could do whatever he wants with Job's riches and all that he had, but not Job. And so Satan destroyed all his children, all his flocks and all of sheep and stuff. And then Job finally got boils and all. He was just really poor man, but he still just praised God. And he thought there was no hope anymore, but he just still praised God. So then later, God gave him back a whole lot more stuff, new children.
I like Elijah because he saved a boy's life.
Next week, I would like the young men and the old men too to list three qualities you think a man should learn and live by. Here's an example would be James 1:19, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, and